Good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. Kyle High in studio with you this morning. It's time for Greenside Up. And in from the Kansas State Extension offices, we have Wendy Powell and a David Scrantz. Ladies, good morning. Thank you for coming in this morning.
Hello. Good morning.
Well, first, Wendy, we'll go ahead and start with you. You were one of the things you wanted to talk about was winter ranch management.
Yes, we have a class coming up in February that I wanted folks to get on their calendars if you're interested. This class is going to take place in Yates Center, and it's going to be February 27th. We're going to talk about improvement in production practices and if that sale data is actually showing that that is cost efficient. And then also we're going to talk about forage sampling and testing and understanding pregnancy losses. So it's going to be a really thorough meeting covering a lot of different facets of beef cattle production. So February 27th in the evening in Yates Center at the Woodson County Fairgrounds. If you're interested in that, it's going to be $10 a head. And you can register by calling the Wildcat Extension District at any of our offices or the Southwind District Extension Office, which is where Yates Center is located. And that phone number is 620-625-8620.
So be sure to get registered for that. And that's coming up when?
February 27th.
Okay, so you still got plenty of time to register, but don't wait too long because I'm pretty sure it's limited seating, correct? Or limited?
I'm sure.
Okay, probably. So just want to make sure. It's always good to register early and make sure you got that done. David, there are a few things that you want to talk about. We'd heard about this a few weeks ago, but also you said you got some kind of updates about this, about hemp.
Yeah, K-State, they released a week or so ago an update on the hemp research they've been doing. So in April 2018, the Kansas governor signed a bill enacting the Alternative Crop Research Act, and this led to the legal production of industrial hemp in the state and made Kansas one of 42 states approved to grow the crop. The Kansas Department of Agriculture reported that there are 207 growers in Kansas as of 2019. However, since hemp production is new to Kansas, none of these growers had good information available to tell them the best practices for growing hemp in Kansas soils. So this led to K-State doing research on hemp production. And CBD and other varieties are legal to grow here in Kansas as long as they produce less than 0.3% THC, because if the plant's THC level is greater than 0.3%, it is considered marijuana and is not legal to grow or have in Kansas. Jason Griffin, who is the director of the John C. Pear Horticultural Center, noted that 99% of people growing industrial hemp in Kansas this year are growing for the CBD production, because this is one of the highest interest areas among consumers. The John C. Pear Horticultural Center is one of three states in Kansas, or one of three sites in Kansas, where K-State research trials have taken place, along with K-State facilities in Colby and Olathe, Kansas. And after 1 year of growing industrial hemp in test plots, Kansas State University researchers say they've moved closer to being able to provide guidance to producers interested in growing the alternative crop in Kansas. One of the things that researchers found in these trials over the last year is that the plants they grew in enclosed high tunnels produced more CBD. And they correlated this in part to they fully enclosed their high tunnels in insect screen, which is really fine netting, because they wanted to see if the insect screen would reduce the amount of pollination inside the high tunnel, and it appeared that it did. And they also noted that the amount of pollination the female plants received is really important in hemp production, because CBD is produced in the female flower bud, and if those female flower buds get pollinated, your concentration of CBD will drastically decrease, where you will get almost none. So it's important to keep pollen away from those female flower buds, Jason Griffin said, and he noted that pollen can travel as far as 3 miles. So at this point, they're thinking it would be very difficult to have a large-scale outdoor CBD production system successfully without somehow being able to protect those plants from pollen. And they will be having a hemp production workshop that will be highlighting more of their findings and also pest control for hemp. And that will be February 4th, I believe, in Wichita. And if you would like more information about that, you can contact our offices and we can get that to you.
That's two. Well, hold on. There we go. That's 2 days after my birthday, so
which is
Groundhog Day. So, and so everybody always asks, "Did you see the groundhog? Or did you see your shadow?" I'm like, "Yep, I saw it. Six more weeks of winter for you, buddy." So anyway, yeah, I've used the CBD product before when I lived in Oklahoma, and it definitely does help with like a lot of aches and pains that I have quite a bit. So I tell you what, I've used the stuff that you put on your tongue, and it's just, it's not the greatest taste in the world, but it does help though. So
yeah, it's gotten pretty popular.
Yeah, it has, and it really does help quite a bit. Back over to Wendy real quick for a few more minutes. You want to talk about buying bulls. We've been kind of running, you know, the K-State Minute for a little bit, talking about buying bulls. Can you expand on it a little bit more?
Yes. So it's a pretty good time right now for producers to be thinking about their mating systems for this spring. And a lot of things are changing in the industry these days. And so I wanted to make bull buyers aware that there's probably going to be some new information coming out on the catalogs. You might have already seen them. So seed stock producers these days are doing quite a bit more genetic testing of their sale offerings. And so they'll put that information in the sale catalog that you might be looking at. And what that's going to look like, there might be a logo or just information on the exact test that they're doing. But what this, in effect, is doing is increasing the accuracy of the expected progeny differences. So whenever you're looking at those catalogs or whenever you're looking at a bull to buy and you're looking at maybe like a calving yeast trait and you see a certain number that you want to hit that's going to match up with your cow herd, then whenever you have a young, unproven bull that doesn't have any calves, there's not a lot of accuracy with his traits. So whenever we have him genetically tested, that can increase by quite a bit the accuracy of those values. So that can be as much as an entire first calf crop, like 10 to 36 calves can really increase those genetic, the accuracies of those pedigrees. So whenever you're matching up for bulls on your cow herds, so make sure you know which traits that you really need to focus on. If you're a terminal operation, then maybe you need to look at carcass traits. If you're producing heifers or if you're producing seed stock yourself, then you want to focus more on maternal traits. So the first thing to do whenever you're focusing on buying a bull is to know what is going to work for your cow herd, what you're actually looking for, know where your constraints are in your operation, and then work backwards to find a bull that's going to address those concerns. So there's a lot of different tools available. If you're looking at those catalogs and you're not seeing the information that you want to see about the whole genetic test, then there's lots of information online about those. And you can also look up the breed registry website for those bulls, excuse me, and fully look up the entire EPD list that they've been tested for. So there might be limited information in the catalog, and you can really narrow that down looking up the bulls online. And if you'd like more information on that, I'd be happy to visit with folks talking about bloodlines and mating systems to really power up your cow herd.
Yeah, don't worry about the having to clear your throat. I've done that so many times. The fun thing is getting hiccups on air when you're talking all of a sudden. And people are like, what is going on with that guy? Why does he keep becoming, especially if you're the only one in the studio and all, only one on there at the time. So, again, so we have a David Skrantz and Wendy Powell in from the K-State Extension Office. We're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we'll have more Green Side Up coming up on the other side of the hour. If you have any questions for these two ladies about anything that they've talked about, our number is 251-6909, 1-800-252-5443, 1-800-252-KGGF. That is the same numbers as our open line numbers. So on the other side of the hour, if you have any questions for these two ladies, we would love to hear from you. So let's go ahead and hit the break. You are listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. Good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. We are back on for Green Side Up, and we have a David Skrantz and Wendy Powell in from the K-State Extension offices. Welcome back, ladies.
Hi.
David, we're going to start with you on this part of the show. Again, if you have any questions for these two ladies, our numbers are 251-6909. That's locally. Toll-free, 1-800-252-5443, 1-800-252-KGGF. There's a few things you said you wanted to talk about before coming back from the break.
Yeah. So first, I was just going to cover a couple of events that are coming up that people may be interested in attending. And the first one is the Montgomery County Conservation District's annual meeting is January 23rd at 6 p.m. at ICC West. And they ask that you RSVP by January 17th. Dinner is included. It's free of charge, and local producers and area farmers are going to be recognized for their conservation districts during the meeting. And then the Wildcat Extension Education Foundation is holding their inaugural gala on January 16th. It will be held at the Cedar Tree Barn in Parsons. It will start at 5:30 with a social hour, and then at 6:30 is a meal. It does cost $45 to attend. And the $45 goes directly to covering 4-H registration for members. For kids to sign up for 4-H, it costs them $15, so the $45 will cover 3 members' registration fees. I know 4-H played a really big part in my life when I was growing up, and it is a great program that teaches kids about a variety of different subject areas and also just really good life and leadership skills. So this is a great opportunity to support 4-H, support the local youth, and just also come and hang out, enjoy a great meal, and you can probably catch up with other former 4-H members and just people in the various communities. And we do ask that you RSVP, and you can do so by calling the extension offices.
So you're getting to kill two birds with one stone there. You're getting, you know, you're getting a great meal, and but you're also helping out three students who may not be able to sign up for 4-H. You're basically paying for their for them to get to sign up to it. So that's a great thing that you guys are doing.
Yeah, it's a really great opportunity to spend a night out and get a great dinner and support the 4-H kids.
So get on out there and support that. Again, it's $45, but again, you're getting a great meal, but and you're also registering, helping where at least three kids can register for 4-H. So, Wendy, it's something I want to come back to you about. You were wanting to talk about cold weather requirements.
Yes. So we've had a lot of temperature fluctuations in the last several days. January today is supposed to be close to 60. So.
Yeah, it's supposed to be close to 60 today, 60 tomorrow, 64 on Friday, and then 31 on Saturday.
Yes.
So it's all over the place right now.
That is going to wreak havoc.
Jekyll and Hyde.
Yes, that is going to wreak havoc on animals because their body's getting accustomed to certain temperatures for several days, and then bam, Mother Nature says, nope, we're going to be cold again. So we want to make for sure that those animals are taken care of. So you can provide windbreaks, help block the wind. That'll help quite a bit. Shade sheds so the animals can get under them. That's also helpful. But really, what you can do that will be most beneficial for animals is to make for sure they have their energy requirements met. So when temperatures drop and then animals get out of their thermoneutral zone. So the thermoneutral zone is when temperatures are not too warm or too cold. It's kind of like where people want to be too,
right?
In the thermoneutral zone. Then they experience cold stress outside of that. Whenever they're too cold, they get stressed, especially whenever the air is high humidity temperatures or high humidity levels, or they don't have a sufficient winter coat developed yet. Hopefully by now they do have, though. So if it's dry conditions, they do have a sufficient winter coat, then cattle don't experience cold stress until about 18 degrees Fahrenheit, which is pretty cold. But whenever we go from 65 degree weather to 30 degree weather all in one day, then cold stress is going to happen a lot quicker, especially if the air is wet. So keep in mind that whenever animals are experiencing cold stress, their protein, mineral, and vitamin requirements are not changing. Their energy requirements are. To keep the body temperature warm enough, their energy requirements can skyrocket occasionally. So to address that, animals that are in good body condition need to be supplied with 1% more energy in their diet for each Fahrenheit degree below lower temperature. So I'll say that again. Increase the energy density by 1% for each degree Fahrenheit below the lower critical temperature of the animal. And if you need help figuring that, just give me a call. I'd be happy to help you with that. So we can do these, address this concern by providing a relatively higher quality hay than what you currently have available or what the current grazing conditions are. So you want to provide a higher quality grazing pasture or hay for the animals to have more energy. Or you can add a small amount of grain to the usual supplement. So Mother Nature's natural response to cold stress is for animals to consume more. So when animals are in confinement situations in a dry lot, that's effective. But if there's animals out on pasture and temperatures continue to drop, they're probably going to hole up somewhere on the other side of that windbreak, under some trees, etc. So providing more grazing for cattle on pasture is not going to be effective because they're going to be all holed up. So we want to make for sure we're providing a higher quality hay or a little bit more energy in their regular supplement. So if you are providing just a little bit more of the same supplement, that's going to replace what they're not grazing. And it might not provide the extra requirement that they need, especially whenever we're talking about a third trimester cow that's about to calve in a couple of months. So her nutrient requirements are already high, and the cold weather is just going to magnify that. So circumstances, supplements, and forages, of course, will vary, but cold stress increases energy requirements and not protein. So if you need help figuring that, just give me a call. I'd be happy to work with producers.
Yeah, it's going to be, like I said, it's going to be crazy with the weather. I mean, and that's going to be hard on those animals going basically from 64, pretty nice weather, to the very next day down to 31. So that's definitely going to be tough on them. So one of the things that I think you talked about last week, Dave, was about heat lamps inside of barns. But you got to kind of watch out where you put those because it could be catastrophic if the animals are able to reach it or something to that effect like that.
Yes, definitely. So a lot of times for smaller animals, such as sheep and goats, especially if you have young kids or lambs, it's common for producers to put a heat lamp up in the barn, which is a great source of extra heat to help keep them warm during the cold temperatures. But you do want to make sure that it is hung correctly, preferably in a way that the animals can't reach it, and in a pretty permanent fashion. Baling twine, of course, is always like a really convenient option when you're looking at hanging up a heat lamp, but it's better to use a cord or a chain, something more permanent that the animals can't chew through. And of course, you never want sheep or goats or cattle to be able to get a hold of baling twine and chew on it, because it's just not something good for them to digest and can lead to bigger problems down the road if they do eat it.
Right. And unfortunately, if you're hanging it up as a temporary thing, obviously you want to try to get it permanent as soon as possible, because that could fall and then that would be really bad, especially if there's a lot of hay in the barn that stuff can go up really quickly. I mean, think about the Chicago Fire back in the day when apparently like burned down the entire city just because the cow kicked over the heat lamp pretty much. So, again, basically try to get a permanent hanging for that. So, ladies, thank you very much for coming in today. Again, if you want to give us, we got a few more minutes. If you want to give us a call, 251-6909, 1-800-252-5443, 1-800-252-KGGF. And David, if you want to go ahead and give out when you guys are having that, well, actually, both of you guys, you got some events coming up. One is on the 4th. You said there's another one that happened later in February. Y'all can go, you can give those out again if you'd like to, just to kind of remind everybody, maybe if they're just now tuning in.
Yeah, so the Wildcat Extension Education Foundation inaugural gala is going to be January 16th, so next Thursday at the Cedar Tree Barn in Parsons. It will start at 5:30 to 6:30 with a social hour, and at 6:30 the meal will be served. Again, it is $45 to attend, but that will cover the fees for three kids to join 4-H. So it's a great opportunity to come out, meet some people, have a good dinner, and support local 4-H members.
And Winnie, you had one out at the Yates Center coming up next month, I think?
Yes. So the Winter Ranch Management Seminar is coming up in Yates Center on February 27th. That's going to be an evening event. And we're going to discuss the value captured from improved production practices. We're going to discuss what the sale data has to say about that. And then also forage sampling and testing and understanding pregnancy loss. So it'll be a pretty thorough beef meeting for cattle producers to come out to. $10 a head. We request they register by February 20th, and the event will be February 27th at Yates Center.
So get on out there. Be sure to go on register. And how can they register? They can just call up or go to the website?
They can give us a call at any of the Wildcat Extension offices, or they can call the Southwind District office in Yates Center at 620-625-8620.
So be sure to register. You got to register by the 20th, and the actual event is on the 27th.
That's correct.
So be sure to register soon for that coming up next month. Ladies, thank you very much for coming in this week. It was good to see you after a two-week break, because it was weird just how, you know, at Christmas and New Year's fell right on when Greenside Up usually airs. So
yeah.
So it was a bit of a two-week break. So, but I appreciate you ladies coming in today, and I hope you have a fantastic day.
Thank you.
Thank you, too.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we're going to have Open Line. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF.